Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
They are rapping.
Hey, sis, thank you. Hey, you know, I'm learning this technology, and I realized when I was blessed to do all the things that's required to get a doctorate degree in urban ministry and social justice, I realized, just like Danny knew, that you're never too old to be useful to God.
That's right. You're never too old to be useful to God. Absolutely. Yes. So, first of all, you know, we've been telling our audience of your work in the community as a political consultant and what you've done in terms of helping those who are in positions as elected officials and positions of responsibility, helping them to understand how they need to be able to connect with the grassroots and really do things that effectively change lives. And you've had to translate for a lot of those who don't know how to communicate with the urban community and therefore can't get elected because there's so much of a disconnection between those who have lived lives of privilege and those who are struggling. So tell us a bit about your journey. I know, of course, as an author, you explained that upbringing that has brought you to this point. But how have you been able to transform your life as one raised in an urban environment to one that now is such a very sought-after political force?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that question. For your listening audience, I give definitely all glory to God for having a mother and father in my life. My mother was a madam. My father did construction. They had 12 children, and they did what was required in order to make ends meet by letting it be known if it was one can of beans, we all going to eat, especially those that's at the dinner table on time when it comes time to eat dinner. If you miss dinner time, we all pray that it was some cornbread left for you. What I mean by that, you know what I mean, sis. That's how we were raised.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And our parents, especially my mother, she knew it was hard for my father to be working in an environment where white folks didn't want black labor, pretty much, if they weren't slaves. During the 60s and the civil rights move, she knew that it was important that my father was able to come home and close the door and leave all his problems outside that door because he knew he had the comfort of home. And fast forward, moving forward, by me being a former gang enforcer and friend and confidant to my friend, will always be my friend, even if he said that he don't want to be my friend, he won't be my friend. And I'm not going to be ashamed to say it. That's Larry Hoover. Okay? He was the one that saw that Gator, we got to turn the trajectory of all the young brothers that's coming back and forth into the penitentiary. Because Larry Hoover, he's been locked up 50 years. Before they gave him that bogus case, when he was in Stateville in the Illinois Department of Corrections, he was seeing the grandchildren, he was seeing the son, the grandson, and sometimes the great-grandson of his friends that was coming into the institution.
Wow.
So he has shared with me that, hey, man, Gator, you out there, you in the political realm by virtue of Earl Washington running for mayor and then Jerry Butler running for Cook County commissioner. And when Jerry Butler won, I was working in Jerry Butler's campaign, and I became his campaign manager as well for the next election, for the re-election. And he said, look, man, hold on a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a story a lot of people remember or understand. The street organizations actually were formed to address the urban distress. And so originally the idea was to provide a protection for our community, to provide a family structure for a lot of young men and women who didn't have it, whose families were in various states of disarray. And the crime element, the selling of that which was considered illegal, came as a means of generating income in places where business was not readily available. And so it was a response to a lack, and there were very organized street organizations that took care of people. And this was a reality. And many ethnicities created such street organizations, gangs, if you will, as a response to the condition of powerlessness that they found themselves in. Now, many of those ethnicities here in Chicago, the Irish, the Italians, the Polish, many of those ethnicities were able to enter the political arena and establish an economic power base. And many instances, African Americans were not. We're still going through our historic conflict. Again, based on money, finance, power, and control. And so now we find ourselves experiencing the consequence of generations of those who perhaps have not had an economic foothold that helped them come out of that situation. And as a result, as Mr. Pratt has informed us,
right,
generations of young men coming into the prison, and women, the population of women in the prison is unfortunately increasing astronomically. It's the broken family. It's the lack of opportunity. It's a hostile environment. And that's the turnaround. So those who look at
North Lake, Shore Drive,
the leaders of those street organizations as being dangerous lock them away, and in doing so, hope to disrupt organizations they have. But the need is still there to address the economic disparity of opportunities and the broken families. So those who are able to translate this reality are valuable in helping to identify those desiring political office as either someone we should work to get elected or someone we should work to not get elected based on their understanding and compassion for the situation and a willingness to put forth laws that actually change the conditions. So we appreciate the fact that organizations that were a vital part of many people's lives realize that we must enter the political arena.
Yes,
we must
change
the law to make a difference. Yes.
Yes, if I may speak to our honored guest, Wallace Gator Gathers.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I am Kareem Hamid, emanating from out of St. Louis, Missouri. And the work that you do and those that are like you is very essential. I'm seeing the social activists. They are conduits. They are a link to the officials, because a lot of times officials get disconnected from the citizenry that they represent. And we need people like Brother Gathers. He gathers, praise be to Allah, he gathers the citizenry and the elected officials. He's a conduit. A connection between the powers that be and those that put them in power. So it's very essential that the line of communication stays open between the governed and those that are governing. I applaud your efforts and your work, Brother Gavin. Very essential.
Yeah. Later.
Yeah.
And yes, Wallace Gator Bradley, yes, who is an author of a book entitled Murder to Excellence. And it tells his story coming from street gang culture and leadership in that culture and even enforcer in that culture, but also one who had connections to the community and could understand how to make that transition to the political arena. And really, as you say, you know, be able to help people who are in office understand, because many of them don't. And they live in fear and they're just thinking, oh, these people are criminals, lock them up. They don't understand how things came to be historically and how to change them. And we've got to hear from Friday and Sunday host Beata out of Florida, nice and sunny Florida. She says, Grand Rising Queen, important guest, bringing life-changing stories. Yes, thank us, right. Universal Spirit, us. Yes.
You know, sis, just to bring your viewing and listening audience up to the importance of this Democratic primary that we had here on March the 19th.
Okay.
A lot of, like you said, a lot of elected officials didn't understand the significance and the state's attorney's race, the importance of reaching out to individuals such as ourselves, you, I, and others, that communicate with the young adult generationally. You know, we're not afraid of TikTok because we know that that's a vessel of communication to them.
Yes.
Okay? And it gives us a chance to let them know how to erase the generational gap, because we showed them how to use the TikTok with the mindset and common sense of knowing that we as a people take a licking, but we keep on ticking. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And therefore, we lost the state's attorney's race to a woman that was a former appellate court judge that had prosecuted an 11-year-old for a crime that they knew he didn't commit. Okay? And the officer that arrested that young boy was the same officer that arrested two more juveniles, a 7 and an 8-year-old, to be prosecuted for a murder of Ryan Harris. And they knew that they didn't do it. Thank God for Judge Pinchum, who's no longer here, that took the case when he was an attorney. Okay? And then the same guy, his name was Cassidy, was a part of the John Birch crew. For your listening audience and viewing audience, they may not know, John Bird's crew was known for torturing individuals, even to the point of using cattle prods and the black men's derriere to force them to commit the crimes that they didn't commit. You follow me? Okay.
And that is horrible.
When we find out, when everybody found out that the people that was bankrolling her campaign are the MAGA people and the alt-right people, especially the police union president who had led a protest against Kim Fox, because Kim Fox was helping to exonerate those individuals that was wrongfully convicted. So
yes,
I'm saying that the wonderful thing about it, because you always look for lemonade when you realize you got a lemon. And that is through prayer, I believe that she can become a great state attorney because she's talking about she wants to bring it back. Well, bring it back to what Kim Fox was on and make
yes.
what Kim Fox was doing better. Don't take it back to where the state's attorney's office was engaging in the cover-up of police misconduct, police murder, police torture, police brutality, and misconduct. So we blessed to know how bad the state's attorney's office was to how it had became where Chicago or Cook County was no longer the wrongful conviction capital. Okay? Yeah, she made some mistakes. Talking about Kim made some mistakes. We all made mistakes because we're human beings. I made mistakes, end up in the penitentiary. And by the grace of God, came my life around and end up getting a pardon from the government. Not because I didn't do the crime, but because I put in righteous work to show that I was an asset to the community. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. We got individuals here that were our black leaders, including Bobby Ross. There was a great black founder.
Yes.
That chose to support an individual like Paul Vallis, who was tied in to the same alt-right and MAGA people in order to take City Hall against an African-American male. And thank God that the people came together, black, white, Hispanic, gay, transgender. You know, everyone came together. So that
yes.
that could not happen. And we end up with an African-American mayor, and that's why the DNC is here. And the reason I'm speaking on that, as you know, sis, this will be the third DNC coming to Chicago. They have one
yes.
in 1988. They have one in 1996. They don't want to talk
yes.
about the one in 1996 because that's when the gang leaders from behind the walls as well as on the streets was making a move and did make a move to show the young adults the alternative to the man of criminality is to show them their responsibility by making them get registered to vote, going to call
yes.
gang lines. Stop the gang wars so that they can help elect the first African-American woman, which was Curl Mosey Brown, to become the United
yep.
States Senator. And then came forth the next United States Senator that happened to be African-American to be elected Senator was Barack Obama.
That's right.
The organization was called United in Peace, and we went to 21st Century Vote. And to God be the glory for Google, because everything that we're telling you is verifiable. So all you have to do is let the young adults know that we was young too, we were stupid too. Okay, what they doing ain't new. We were doing it. But we was listening to our elders. Now we the elders. And all we had to do is talk to the children to show them, hey, now you got a state's attorney that has no problem prosecuting juveniles, especially some of the juveniles need to be prosecuted. The ones that are out there doing all this shooting and jumping out of cars 4 deep with them guns, with them switch on them, and sticking up innocent individuals for their phones.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure that they don't lock in all juveniles because they may have on a black hoodie.
Right.
And
like that makes automatically a criminal.
Right. And this election on the 19th was very important and tantamount because the people came together, all races, all generations, to help re-elect Congressman Danny K. Davis.
Yes.
So what that shows, and what they didn't want to be seen, is that there's young adults, first-time registered voters, help make a historical move at a time when they come back to us as a people to help save democracy. You know what I mean? So I'm saying that.
Yes.
I'm not being braggadocious. I'm patting myself on the back like I'm saluting everyone that came out to vote. And understanding this, you got a right to vote for who you want to vote for. Okay, you got a right to vote for who you want to vote for. But pay attention to the candidates. And we as a people have to start letting our young adults know, and we have to understand this too. We the only race where every other race tell us not to respect our elders, like the young adults won't be elders tomorrow.
Wow, that's a powerful statement. Well, we're about to go, but I have on the screen your book. It's available at Amazon, Murder to Excellence, Growth and Development for the Millennial Generation, the autobiography of Wallace Gator Bradley, Urban Translator. We've got that up on the screen for those who want to order it on Amazon. Right there, you can order your copy. And it's a fascinating story told in his own words. And
right.
I think it will inspire a lot of people. And I appreciate what you just said about us being taught not to respect our elders, because that's one of the most difficult things that has evolved in our culture that has to be undone. Because as you've just said, one day we're going to be elders. One day the youth are going to be the elders, and they're going to understand that wisdom comes with age. You have to respect the wisdom of the Lord.
Right. It says, if you don't mind, let me if I can give my phone number to your listening and viewing audience, where they can call me, because the name of the game is being accessible to one another. You know how we work. It's telephone, telegram, TikTok, and tell a Negro. My phone number is 312. Phone number is 312-371. 6914. That's 312-371-6914. And I want to say, to God be the glory. That's Gator's story.
All right. I love that. To God be the glory, and that's Gator's story. And give us that number one more time. I'm going to bring it here up on the screen. So,
it's 312-371.
6914.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. Well, we got it, and we thank you so very much for being our guest today. And we got it up on the screen, 312-371-6914. We thank you so very much, and congratulations on your doctorate degree. We certainly say that you have earned the title. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us today. And, of course, our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda Speaks, reminds us to tune in to hear our podcast training students at Betty Shabazz International Charter School, Speak Chinese Students at School in Beijing, China. YouTube.com/Higher Learning TV Show will be live at 5. And we will see you then. Until then, remember to shine your light. We will.
Praise to Allah. This concludes the broadcast of the Female Solution. I invite you, if you would, to tune back in to America Muslim 360 this afternoon for the broadcast of Halal Industries Do For Self, hosted by our beloved Imam Wali Ayu Bilal. It airs at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Halal Industries. Halal means that which is good and lawful, and do for self. We came to you with the greetings of peace. I leave you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. Ramadan Mubarak.